Well, good morning to all of you. We are continuing on our sermon series that we've started. And we've been talking for the last several weeks about fear, how the Bible teaches us what to do about fear, some of the ways that the biblical stories talk about dealing with fear. And today we're going to read from Numbers chapter 13 and 14. I'm going to begin with the 25th verse, and I'm going to read down through the 4th verse of the 14th chapter. And if you have your Bibles today, you're more than welcome to follow along with me. If you don't, you're welcome to listen. As we read, the Israelites are preparing to go into the promised land. They have been delivered miraculously by God from the hand of Pharaoh, and they have sent 12 men to look around in the promised land, to spy on it, as you might say. And this is what they had to say about what they saw. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. "We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people there are The people that are living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley." But Caleb, one of the spies, tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. "Let us go at once to take this land. We can certainly conquer it." But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. "We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are." So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. "The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people that we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers," and that's what they thought too. Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. "If only we had died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness," they complained. "Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to just return to Egypt?" Then they plotted amongst themselves and said, "Let us choose a new leader and just go back to Egypt." May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of His holy word. And let us pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful for the opportunity once again we have to gather together in this community of faith to come and to lift our hearts up to you in worship. And we thank you, Lord, for the way that your Holy Spirit has moved through our gathering thus far, and we pray that your Spirit would continue to move among us. Lord, I ask in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And God, as always, we humbly ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts, that the words that you have for us today might be more for us than just information. But we pray, Lord, that your word might be transforming to us, that your words might transform us from the inside out, and that we might leave this place as people transformed by being in your presence. All this we ask in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in the name of Jesus that we offer this prayer, saying, Amen. In 1885, there was a little boy by the name of Joseph Meister who had been bitten by a rabid dog. The bites were severe. There was no cure, no treatment for rabies at the time, and his mother didn't know what she was going to do. It just so happened that about the same time, there was a man who was a scientist named Louis Pasteur who was working on a rabies vaccine, a treatment for rabies, but it hadn't been tried on human beings before, and no one knew what it was going to do. And so Joseph Meiser's mother faced this terrible dilemma. If she did nothing, her son was going to die from the rabies. But the vaccine, the treatment was risky. And what was she going to do? And you see, several years earlier, a man named Edward Jenner had developed a vaccine for smallpox. And this vaccine came from another disease that was in cows called cowpox, same kind of thing. And as smallpox, which was very, very devastating at the time, started to have this treatment, there were people at the time who were afraid of vaccines. And they said things like, if you take the smallpox vaccine, what might happen to you? You might grow a cow's leg. You might grow cow's ears. You might start to moo. Why would anyone be so foolish as to have themselves vaccinated from smallpox? So you see, Joseph Meister's mother was in a real dilemma. And the real dilemma was, who did she listen to? Who did she listen to? Did she listen to what everybody else was saying? Did she listen to popular opinion? Or did she take a chance with Louis Pasteur and the possible vaccine, the possible treatment? You see, we human beings, especially when it comes to fear, we are very influenced by each other. We are very influenced by each other. So sometimes we say, well, we read this story about the Israelites and we say, how could the Israelites be so foolish? They had been delivered miraculously from Pharaoh by God in the Exodus. How could they be so foolish as to think that God would not deliver them again? And the story I read you is about 12 spies, 12 men who were selected, one from each tribe, to go into the promised land and to look around and to kind of do an advance thing to see what was going on there. What they found was the place was just as it had been described to them. It was a land full of milk and honey. They bring back some grapes that are so heavy they have to be put on a pole and carried with two men. But when they get back, and as they report to the Israelites, 10 of the 12 spies say, it was beautiful. It was wonderful. It was a land of milk and honey. We found all of these great things to eat. It's just as God said it was, but. And that's usually where the fear comes in, isn't it? In the but. There are people there that, we saw some giants. They have fortified cities. There's absolutely no way we can go in there. We'll be destroyed. We need to just stay here. We need to just stay here. Or maybe as my son Noah used to say when he was little, when he was frightened, too scary. It's too scary. Now again, I told you there were 12 of them, and there were two of them, Caleb and Joshua, and you heard me read what Caleb had to say. Caleb said, wait a minute, don't pay any attention to them. This is great. We can go. We can take this. We can do this. This is what God promised us. But what happened was what? The people started to murmur among themselves. They started to say, maybe these spies didn't know what they were talking about. And then the fear spread, just like a contagion among the people, to the point that the last verses you heard me read to you, they're saying, let's just elect some new leaders. We get that, don't we? Let's drive all the bums out of Washington. Let's start all over again. Let's elect some new leaders. It would have been better if we had just stayed in Egypt. Why did we do this? And you see, I think this points to a thing about fear that we really need to understand. Mary Noble shared this definition of fear with me some time ago, and I really like it. She said, fear is false expectations appearing real. False expectations appearing real. I like that definition because it reminds us that sometimes when we're afraid, we're not seeing things clearly. We're not seeing things clearly at all. And oftentimes, you could name an event, I could name an event that's happened in my life where we were worried, where we were frightened, where we thought that the worst was going to happen and nothing of the sort happened. People around us may have said, oh, I wouldn't do that if I were you. I wouldn't do that if I were you. But it turned out that we worked through our fears and we went ahead and did what we needed to do. And we found out that fear is indeed false expectations appearing real. These false expectations for the Israelites confound me. They confound me. If you had seen the deliverance which every one of these people had from slavery in Egypt. And again, this wasn't the first time they grumbled, was it? Amen. They had grumbled before. But if you had seen that, think about it. The plagues, the deliverance from Pharaoh, the parting of the Red Sea, the dramatic rescue by God. Don't you think that it would give you a little sense that, hey, maybe God is with us after all? Maybe we just need to believe what God has said. But let a little fear get into us and then let somebody else around us, let the people around us go, ooh, better watch out. Wouldn't do that. And the next thing, it's like a snowball rolling downhill, isn't it? This fear, this negativity. And the next thing, well, we can't do anything, so we might as well just hide. We should just go to our homes and hide. And I'm so thankful for Caleb and for Joshua, who said, no, you're not seeing this correctly. We can do this because God is with us. We can do this because God is with us. And they understood that God plus one, as the saying goes, is a majority. Amen? God plus one is a majority. If God is with us, as Paul says in Romans 8, who can be against us? Who can be against us? And they believed. Well, unfortunately, they continue to grumble. Moses tries to calm them down and says, look, you know, we've got to trust God in this thing, and they keep grumbling, and it makes God angry, and God says, you know what? Not one of the people that grumbled are going to see the promised land. They're not going to see it. Out of the 12 spies, 10 of them did not get to see Israel make it to the promised land. Only two, Joshua and Caleb. Two out of 12. Who believed God more than they believed the fear, the anxiety that was swirling around everyone else. They chose to believe God rather than their own fear and the fears that swirled around them. And I think this has something to say to us about our own fears, how we deal with our own fears, how we deal with our own anxieties, our own issues, how we deal with those. Because you see, we have a choice too, don't we? We can believe God and trust God and say, well, God has gotten me through this before. Or we can look into the future with fear and go, oh, no. Yeah, well, God worked here and God worked there and God did this and God did that. But, man, maybe God can't handle this. Does that sound as ridiculous to you as it sounds to me? Maybe God can't handle this. Maybe God can't handle this. And once again, fear, false expectations appearing real. They're not real, but they appear real. Joseph Meister's mother had a real dilemma, terrible dilemma. If I don't do anything, my son is going to die of rabies. It was a horrible, horrible disease. If I decide to let Louis Pasteur come in and do this treatment, it's untested, he might die anyway. It was risky for her. It was risky for Pasteur. He was not a medical doctor. He could have gotten in lots of trouble for administering the vaccine. But finally, Meister's mother says, yes, go ahead, administer the vaccine. Remarkably, after the vaccine was administered, the boy started to improve, and he ended up fully recovering from rabies. And Louis Pasteur, when he was asked later in life what he wanted to be put on his tombstone, he said, I want three words put on my tombstone. Joseph Meister lived. Joseph Meister lived. And you see, sometimes, brothers and sisters, it's about us recognizing that our fears are indeed false expectations appearing real. That's what they are. And we need to trust that God, who has created us, the God who we've put our faith in, the God who sent us Jesus Christ, the God who sent us the Holy Spirit to guide us, that this God will be there. And this God will do what he promises in Scripture. But just in case you didn't get it, I want to read you from the first chapter of Joshua, because you see what happens as this story continues is that Joshua, one of the 12 spies, ends up being the leader of Israel. And after Moses' death, before Joshua is going to lead the people into the promised land, God says this to him. This is chapter 1, verse 9 of the book of Joshua. This is my command to you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. And this is why. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You see, Caleb and Joshua did not think that they were going to just walk into the promised land and the people there were going to say, oh, the Israelites are here. Let's just go somewhere else. They knew it was going to be hard. They knew it was going to be difficult. They knew there were going to be trials. But what they knew above all things was that the God who delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh was going to deliver them again. And they believed it. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, we've got to make a decision when we find ourselves faced with fear and anxiety. Are we going to listen to what everyone else says around us? Are we going to get caught up in the false expectations appearing real? Or are we going to listen to the promises of Scripture, the promises that God has made to us? The promises. The same promise that God gave to Joshua. Be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, because the Lord your God goes with you everywhere you go. And that, brothers and sisters, is why we don't need to be afraid, and why the true definition of fear is false expectations appearing real. False expectations appearing real. Amen? Amen. Amen.